Sounds like Kiss, right? Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. Dr. Serrato has requested Rush for tomorrow. So Nolan put that in the tally sheet. Rush is always great. Hall of Famers. Killer songs. Their deep cuts are better than the hits for a lot of bands. But we'll get into all of that in due time. Orioles win last night 4-2 over the Guardians. Texas coming to town. We'll talk about that. And let's go down on the farm as we do every Thursday from OriolesHangout.com. Let's welcome in Tony Penti. Tony, what is happening?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Going all right, man. Now, if we're picking untouchable Oriole prospects, and Ray in Baltimore just called in, asked about Samuel Basayo, and I'm guessing he'll probably be on the short list, but we know the Orioles need pitching. The American people know the Orioles need pitching. Rest of baseball knows the Orioles need pitching. So Mike Elias is going to have to be aggressive to get this done. But if there are untouchable prospects down on the farm, how many of them are there right now?
Yeah, I think you got to look at, there's three guys that name always come up when you start talking about, when you want to say untouchable. And I don't know if anybody's ever actually untouchable, because you can always get some sort of deal that would blow you away potentially. But you start looking at guys like Holiday, Mayo, and Basayo. Those are the three guys that you, if you're going to move one of those guys, it's not going to be for rental. It's going to be for somebody that's got at least 3, maybe 4 years of retainability. It's already somebody that's a either a number two pitcher that's kind of on the border of being an ace. Those are the kind of guys you're going to move them for. And I just, there's not a ton of those guys that are going to be available. So there's what, that's why I guess if you want to look at it, they probably are untouchable. They're not, they should not be even considered in a rental. And I doubt that, that Mike Elias would, consider any of those three guys in a quick rental for this, even for the stretch run.
All right, Tony, let's stay on the farm. Give us a scouting report on Seth Johnson, pitcher.
Yeah, Johnson's, he's really starting to have a pretty good season, put some things together for him. He's a mid-90s guy. He's got a good couple of good breaking balls. He's not much of a changeup guy. Every once in a while he throws one in there, but that's not really one of his pitches that you would say would be a consistent offering for him. He's starting to work a little bit on a cutter. That's getting some of the batters off his fastball a little bit. One of my concerns I've had when I've been watching him was that he gets barreled up a little bit too much for me. For a guy that throws in the mid, sometimes he'll touch upper 90s on occasion. But I think the cutter will help with that. It gets batters a little bit off that, cuts a little bit of speed, gets a little movement on there, gets it away from that barrel. So he's been putting up some nice numbers. He's been missing some bats, and I think he's a guy that they could put up at AAA pretty soon and give him a look up there, because he's a guy that's on the 40-man roster, and I think this is his second option he's burned. So they're going to have to make some decisions on him in the next year or two anyway.
Tony Penti, OrielsHangout.com, here on Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, joins us every Thursday. Kobe Mayo's back, and Kobe Mayo's hitting home runs since he's been back. He was mashing them during his rehab at Aberdeen. I mean, what does he need to do to get up here to Baltimore? We know if he was a left fielder, I guess he'd probably be here already, but he's not. He's a corner infielder. But is Kobe Mayo's time in Baltimore getting closer and closer here?
Well, you would think, right? The bat is absolutely ready. I mean, I did a whole piece on him on the message board talking about the pitches that he mashes. He does struggle a little bit with breaking balls, and that's kind of would be something I think major league pitchers would go would try to attack him with early on. But he's not completely lost on breaking balls, so I don't want to give the impression that he can't hit them. He's a very, very smart hitter. If he knows a breaking ball's there, you make a mistake, he's going to hit a long, long way. Like he hits everything else. He absolutely murders fastballs. I don't even know why. Throwing a fastball over the plate to Kobe Mayo has to be the scariest thing a minor league pitcher must try to do, because his exit velocities are crazy. He hits moonshots. His bat is absolutely ready for the major leagues. Like you said, where do you play him? And obviously he's a third baseman. He has made some strides this year, I think. He was having some throwing problems earlier in the year. He's been better of late. Now, do you feel completely comfortable with him as you would say Westberg or Urias over at third base? Probably not, but I also think that his bat is better than both of those guys. So, Westberg obviously can slip over to second, but right now Mateo's been playing well overall. especially defensively. And we know that the Orioles put defense a high, you know, really look at defense really, really highly on their list. So they really like that defensive infield of Westberg at third base, Gunner short, Mateo at second, and Mountcastle at first. And it's a great defensive infield when you do that. So when you move Mayo, you decide to make him a third baseman, you move Westberg to second, you look at Westberg's numbers this year, his numbers have really fallen off defensively at second base, and you wonder, you know, again, he's a pretty big guy. Is that just because he hasn't played there a ton, or is it just that he's a big guy and that's gonna be a tough position for him to have a lot of value in? So yeah, I think that's right now. It's positional issues is what's keeping Mayo out of major leagues, not certainly not his hitting.
Tony, are you a little bit surprised about Kerstedt in the outfield? He's made some nice catches, some running catches. He made a nice throw the other day. What's your opinion of that?
You know, defense is one of the hardest things to judge when you're watching the minor league videos and so forth, because a lot of times by the time they cut to the outfielders, you really can't see their jumps. You really don't get a good idea of their routes. I would say that the one thing that I've been a little surprised is the accuracy of his throwing. I know when I was watching him in the minors, his arm was just so inconsistent. One time he had a good arm throw, then he had just an awful throw. They were very, very inconsistent throws, and I was concerned about that overall, just, you know, lack of consistency. But he's made some nice plays out there. He's made a couple of nice throws, and they've been very, very accurate. I mean, he's literally the exact opposite of Kowser, who I think someone had joked about that somebody should check him out in relief because he throws so hard. And I said, well, he probably hit the Oriole bird with his accuracy up there, you know. So I think he's done really well defensively, and I think that's why you're seeing him getting some looks in left field. He doesn't scare you out there, and with his bat, I think you got to start opportunities.
Now, how's Stowers doing?
Like a lot of guys that go back down to AAA after they've been in the major leagues and probably don't feel like they belong in AAA, you know, it's been a little bit of a, a little bit of a struggle. He hasn't really had any really big games down there, but, you know, Stowers is who he is. He's developed. He's going to be a guy. If you get him, run him out there. I think he's going to be an everyday major leaguer for somebody. I don't know whether that's going to be for the Orioles or not because of their depth, but he also gives them that opportunity because we were talking earlier about trade chips. To me, although I don't want to trade him and nobody wants to trade guys that you like, Heston Kerstedt has the most value of any guy that I would be willing to trade. And you kind of look at the fact that you can bring Stowers up. Stowers may not be quite as good as Kerstedt, but he's not that far from it for me. That's something to think about right there.
Tony Petit, OrielsHangout.com, joining us here, video at 81.057 The Fan. Tony, last thing for you. How's the Jackson Holliday elbow coming along right now?
Well, all the reports are is that, you know, it's obviously still in the mend in the sense of that he can hit, but they don't want him out throwing out in the field yet. Just got to keep an eye on that. You know, you do have to wonder, watching some of the throws this year, earlier in the year, whether that was part of the problem too. Was that elbow bothering him? Because he was just making some really weird lob throws that major leaguers just don't do. I mean, yeah, he was getting guys out, but you only do that when you're trying to protect something. So I wonder how long this elbow has hurt him this year, and if that's some of the problems he's had at the plate.
And by the way, let's stress to the people too, he doesn't have at full strength a gunner arm, but to your point, he was barely getting it from second to first when he was up here in the major leagues. Somewhat surprising to watch that thing.
Yeah, the arm strength has never been super strong for him, but I think what a possibility, and I don't have any background on this, but the possibility was he knew it, went this offseason, worked really hard on arms, you know, strengthening drills, and may have hurt it. Made him kind of, you know, strained it, not enough where he felt like he couldn't play, but it was obviously affecting him. I mean, the throw, and he's made a lot of errors down. If you look at in AAA, he's made a lot of errors down there. Most of those have been throwing. I think that there were some concerns over the elbow.
Certainly doesn't have the hose of a young Bob Haney.
No, he doesn't.
If you know what I'm saying. Tony Pente, what's happening at OrielsHangout.com?
Well, we're talking all the O's every day, always talking about all the things. Yes, the sky was falling a little bit for us as well this week. So good the Orioles got off the schneid last night, and everybody can kind of calm down a little bit.
Tony, appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Tone.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Tony Pettit, everybody. We'll come back. It's the whip around what happened in the world of sports last night. Well, not a ton. The NBA draft, that first round took place. Some trades as well. The Wizards were involved in some of the action. And we'll look at what happened on this day in sports history. It is June 27th. Oriole Hall of Famer and our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, Mike Bordick, joins us around 11:30. Talk about the Orioles getting off the schneid, as Tony said, and looking to maybe start another winning streak against the Texas Rangers this week. 5880-1057 The Fan. Whip around here on this Total Request Thursday. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. That has started, so start tallying them up, everybody. National Football League, no supplemental draft yet again. There has not been a supplemental draft pick since 2019.
It was a waste of time most of the time anyhow, Bob, because it was all guys that academically, you know, flunked out there, or junior college guys. There was hardly ever a guy. I mean, Jimmy Johnson did it when he took Steve Walsh, quarterback, you know, with a first-round
pick. Bernie Kosar was supplemental. Chris Carter, I believe Brian Bosworth, among others. Josh Gordon.
Yeah, but as of late, you know, most of the time it's just a waste of time.
So it's not going to happen, as is the right of the NFL. So no supplemental draft if you're looking to buy your popcorn and throw a party for that sort of thing. There was an NBA draft first round, as a matter of fact. Last night, the Wizards, prior to the draft, traded Denny Avdija, who was a first-round pick of theirs a couple years ago, to Portland from Malcolm Brogdon. There were some draft picks involved. Wizards did get the 14th pick, who turned into Baltimore's Bob Carrington out of Pitt and St. Francis. And according to the computer, they also got the, 24th pick?
Yeah.
Guy from Miami, three-point shooter. Not the greatest of athletes, whatever it is. But the first pick in the draft, the Atlanta Hawks had it, they kept it, and they chose to do this.
With the first pick in the 2024 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Zachary Risache from Lyon, France, and France's JL Boron-Bress. With the second pick, the Washington Wizards select Alex Sarr from Toulouse, France. The 14th pick in the 2024 NBA draft, the Portland Trailblazers select Bob Carrington from the University of Pittsburgh.
And then traded him to the Wizards in the Avdija trade, so which is great news for a local kid. Another guy that we're going to add to the whip around when we get to the NBA scores. As we talk about the local kids, doing some good things. By the way, Reed Shepard out of Kentucky went to the from Kentucky to the Houston Rockets, where he just kind of blew up this season. For John Calipari, now I'm old enough to remember his dad, Jeff. He was part of the Kentucky team of 1996 with Walter McCarty and with Ron Mercer and all of those guys. They were one of the great college teams, actually, Tony Delk of all time. But Reed Shepard came out of nowhere, third pick in the draft. Round two is tonight. So if you like watching NBA draft stuff, now locally, I don't know what your viewing pleasure is. I'm going to be all over the Oriole game.
Now,
you have the presidential debate, which I have little interest in, quite frankly.
Well, you can watch both the draft.
Drafts
round
at 4
starts
o'clock.
At 4 this
yeah.
afternoon.
Okay, so you can watch. We'll watch that at Pickles. How's that sound?
Bob, who cares? They don't even have guaranteed contracts.
I think they do.
Now they do?
Yeah. But anyway, Vinny doesn't care, and that's all that matters. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. This day in sports history, it is June 27th. How about Mike Tyson, 1988, knocked out Michael Spinks in 91 seconds to kind of unify the heavyweight championships there. The most anticlimactic heavyweight fight of all time. Mike Tyson, feared. This was him at his absolute prime. This was his last fight with Kevin Rooney as his trainer. And then Don King got his mitts in there, and then everything went haywire for old Iron Mike. Hey, look, Mike Tyson, brilliant fighter when Kevin Rooney had him. And then he went off the rails. And in my opinion, turned out to be one of the most overrated heavyweights of all time. Yeah, he was blasting people away on ESPN, beat up a bloated Michael Spinks, knocked out a Larry Holmes who was old and hadn't fought in 2 years. Those are his signature wins. He lost six times. Five of them, he was knocked out. And the other one, he got disqualified for literally biting somebody's ear off.
Yeah.
He sticks around with Kevin Rooney. keeps focused the Customato way, probably the greatest heavyweight of all time. But that's not what happened. But on this night, Michael Spinks, who looked like he was peeing down his leg during the ring introductions, he got knocked out in 91 seconds. Let's see. NBA draft 1990. Derek Coleman went number one. Syracuse to the Nets. The Glove. Gary Payton went number two. Hall of Famer out of Oregon State to the then Seattle Supersonics. Tony Kukoc went number 29. Hall of Famer to the Bulls, 2001. Michael Jordan running this for the Wiz. Boy, he had a home run on this one, Nolan. Took Kwame Brown. Number one. Tyson Chandler went number two to the Clippers. Two high school guys, by the way. Paul Gasol went number three to Atlanta. They traded him to Vancouver. Then he gets traded to the Lakers. Now he's in the Hall of Fame. Tony Parker was chosen number, speaking of France, 28 to the Spurs. Also a Hall of Famer. And you want to talk about the ultimate dough drafts of all time. About 2013 in Brooklyn. Number one pick. This is post-LeBron Cleveland woes. They take Anthony Bennett. Know who he is? Don't lie.
Marquette?
Yeah. A UNLV. Number two, Victor Oladipo, Indiana. Was an all-star. Hit knee injuries have ruined his career. The Wizards at three took Otto Porter. Good career.
Yeah.
Number five, Alex Len, University of Maryland, to the Suns. Guess who the 15th pick of the draft was, Nolan? Anybody here read a sports page or what?
From what year?
2013.
Well, yeah, off the top of my head, I know that. The
15th Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Wow, great.
There you go. Go back over there. Rudy Gobert, what, number 27, speaking of France. C.J. McCollum, what, number 10, perennial all-star. So it's a doe draft, the point is. Anthony Bennett, what, number one from UNLV. He was traded over in the Kevin Love deal along with Wiggins, and then the rest is history there. Giannis Antetokounmpo, what, number 15, and this is a guy that would probably, he's already been named one of the greatest players of the history of the NBA, and if he retired tomorrow, would be in the Hall of Fame. So that's your history lesson. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer and BBT contributor. He's our colleague. Brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Talk about the Orioles' win last night and look ahead to the Texas Rangers as the Orioles want revenge, I guess, from what happened to them in the playoffs last year. Michael Jackson. Never a bad selection there either. I think we just had MJ on not too long ago, though. Featured Artist Friday. It's like when you win a prize here. You got to wait 30 days.
Yeah.
And maybe you got to wait 30 days to hear Michael Jackson. But get your request in for Featured Artist Friday. Send the votes to Nolan. Plaza Port text line at 410-583-1057. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Orioles win last night, 4-2. Five-game losing streak over. Since the Yankees got clobbered, Birds are only a game out of first here to talk about that and more. Look ahead to Texas. Oriole Hall of Famer, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. He's the one and only Mike Bordick. Bordy, what's up?
Bob, I'm good today, man. It was a better night's sleep, I'll tell you, after that Orioles win last night. And hopefully that gets them right back on track. The schedule just doesn't seem to let up at all, right? World champs coming in right now. And then, of course, the Yankees later on, too. So, yeah, tough schedule, but nice win for the O's last night.
And we were talking earlier, Vinny and myself, first segment of the show, talk about Gunner, appropriate. Adley, absolutely. Westberg, all-star consideration of the young guys. It's almost like Grayson Rodriguez, Mike, gets lost in this conversation, but he is huge for this team. And yeah, Friday passed against Houston, wasn't all that great, but how big was it not only for him to come out and go seven innings, but to maybe reestablish himself as a strong number two behind Corbin Burns, who is a number one in anybody's rotation?
No, absolutely. I think it was a perfect storm for him to take this next step forward, you know, in his young career as a leader, as somebody that can be trusted in the rotation to be a stopper when needed. Listen, I'm not going to say it would be the end of the world for the Orioles if they would have lost last night and Grayson had another clunker. But for him to be able to stay that poise, stick with a great game plan, look like he was better down the stretch in that game. He wanted the ball, and he was aggressive against a very tough Indians lineup. I mean, my gosh, one of the best teams. Well, right now, I think statistically, one of the best teams in baseball. So to be able to shut them down, control the big bats, and get this team back on track was huge. And I think it just gave everybody in that clubhouse just a little bit more confidence.
All right, Bordy, I'm going to ask you this. In the month of June, Cedric Mullins hitting .284, a couple of homers, four ribbies. Last 2 weeks, he's hitting .378, OPS well over 1,000. And I'm going to use air quotes here, give you a visual, everybody. Is he back?
Well, I hope so. Listen, it was a tough little grind right there for Cedric Mullins. And, you know, I got on him too, man. It's just tough when you got such a good team and some guys are scuffling a little bit and you can see it. They wear it right on their sleeves. You know how hard it is because every one of these guys, they know what's in front of them. They know they have an awesome team. And when any one of them doesn't feel like they're contributing, you can just see it. They just want to help this team win so bad. And Cedric Mullins, of course, is, I don't know, in my opinion, you know, he's the guy that's gone through it all. Of course, Hayes right there with him, but he's had so much success in the big leagues and then to struggle the way he did and now to rebound back. And I'm going to go out there and say, well, our 30-30 Cedric Mullins is back. No, not at all. I just think it's good to have him be more productive and find better consistency in this lineup because he's a stolen base threat. When he puts together great ABs, he can be a power threat as well. So just another great piece of this Oriole offense to contend with if you're trying to deal with him as an opposing team.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking about the Birds on the diamond tonight, taking on Texas down at Oriole Park in Camden Yards. Gray against Burns. Look, you're an all-star player yourself. You're an Oriole Hall of Famer, so you know what you see here, and you play with a lot of great players, guys that are in Cooperstown, as a matter of fact. But you've been watching Gunnar Henderson, not even for two full seasons yet. What are we seeing with this guy right now?
Well, certainly greatness. And I'm in awe every time I see him do what he does because he's unflappable. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He wants to prove himself every day. I'm not saying he wants to prove that he's the best player in the game right now. He just wants to prove himself to his teammates and this Baltimore fan base. And he wants to get better. You can just tell. He pushes the envelope. I hope they don't pull the reins back because I think, you know, that hurts players, especially when they're so youthful and can move so well. I want him to stay aggressive. He just looks so poised at the plate, too. I mean, it's really amazing the consistency of his at-bats. You know, and I heard Brandon Hyde's interview about just saying, you just run out of words describing him. And this is on both sides of the ball because he's a great base runner. He's a great defender. He's an unbelievable offensive player. He's got it all, man. And I think the Orioles are very fortunate to have him. And let's hope he can continue this run because he doesn't look like he's slowing down one bit.
Hey, Bordy, how surprised are you the consistency of O'Hearn?
Yeah, well, Vinny, you know, I think Brandon Hyde has had a really good feel for his team, and he knows where guys are going to have success. And I think his matchups, you know, facing the righties a bunch has helped him stay more consistent. He is locked in and is as dangerous a hitter and understanding of a strike zone as anybody on the Orioles, but in baseball too. I mean, and then you throw in obviously the great power numbers as well. He's just a clutch hitter. He's another guy that seems unflappable. He's got a great plan when he steps up in the box, and you're guaranteed just to have a quality at bat, man. And I think really that's the ultimate goal of every offensive player. Can you stay in the moment and have pitch by pitch a great at bat, understanding your strike zone, understanding what the pitcher's trying to do to you, and more times than not, a guy like O'Hearn puts this together, and you just see these quality ABs night after night. It's really impressive.
Hey, Bordy, will we ever see, again, Mateo and Mullins get thrown out in the same game stealing?
Maybe not, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's tough to see. These guys are great. They have great instincts on the base path. Man, you tip your hat, right, if all of a sudden that they get thrown out. Because I guess everybody knows, and I think everybody's known for a couple years now, that when they get on, they're green lights, man. They're running. They're putting pressure on the opposing team. So as much as teams have tried to stop them, they haven't been very successful. So pretty shocking when they each get thrown out. But keep pushing that envelope, man. I'm telling you, speed plays so well at the major league level. Guys just can't handle it. They don't know how to handle that speed situation, and I think that's been a huge advantage for the Orioles the past couple of years.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Last thing for you, Bordy. I'm not trying to disrespect Cleveland. I mean, they're 8 games up in their division, but are they for real? Are you buying this here?
Man, I'll tell you what. Just watching them play, honestly, the at-bats they put together, they're a scrappy, fighting team. They got a couple guys that can take you deep, you know, the Naylor brothers. And of course, I don't know, man. It seems like he's my favorite player, their little third baseman right there.
Ramirez, yeah.
Yeah, Ramirez, are you kidding me with how he plays the game? I mean, my gosh. So they're an exciting team, and it's, you know, they got a great bullpen too. When the back end gets in, it seems like it's the game over. So when you have that kind of consistency in the back end of your bullpen, you feel pretty good about it. And, you know, they may be another team that's in the hunt for more pitching too, because it's that rotation, you know, try to get to that back end as soon as you can.
Bordy, when am I seeing you again here for BBT?
I think I'm back on the beginning of the month. When the O's make that West Coast trip, I'll be joining the BBT program.
It sounds awesome. Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, always great to talk to you. Enjoy your weekend, Mike. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Bordy.
Okay, guys. Yeah, see you, Bob. See you, Vinny.
There he is, Mike Bordick, everybody. We'll come back. Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw. Then we got news from the Nest. Talks of Ravens. Vinny's broken out some statistics and some trends that could help the Ravens moving forward here in 2024, trying to get over that AFC championship game hump. We'll count our late week money, hopefully, at 12:15. Buy or sell. And Oriole lefty Cade Povich joins us at 12:30. NFL lunch, 1 o'clock. American League East report at 1:15. Yankees got beat again, which is always awesome. And then Jared Sandler, going to preview those Texas Rangers. He's with the pre- and post-game show on 105.3 in Texas. Queen. That'd be a good selection for tomorrow, too. People reaching here for some pretty big bands. Getting rocking and rolling. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Vinny, tease what we're going to be talking about here.
We're going to be talking about our offensive skill players, how they did against the division. And then what we're going to do is we're going to break it down and see. Because what I didn't do was I didn't include the guys that won't be there next year. So who's going to have to step it up against the division this year?
Got buy or sell, 12:15. Then Oriole lefty Cade Povich. He'll be joining us around 12:30. Let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw, how you feeling today?
Feeling good.
Michael Jackson. Never a bad selection there either. I think we just had MJ on not too long ago, though. Featured Artist Friday. It's like when you win a prize here. You got to wait 30 days.
Yeah.
And maybe you got to wait 30 days to hear Michael Jackson. But get your request in for Featured Artist Friday. Send the votes to Nolan. Plaza Port text line at 410-583-1057. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Orioles win last night, 4-2. 5-game losing streak over. Since the Yankees got clobbered, Birds are only a game out of first here to talk about that and more. Look ahead to Texas. Oriole Hall of Famer, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. He's the one and only Mike Bordick. Bordy, what's up?
Bob, I'm good today, man. It was a better night's sleep, I'll tell you, after that Orioles win last night. And hopefully that gets them right back on track. The schedule just doesn't seem to let up at all, right? World champs coming in right now. And then, of course, the Yankees later on, too. So, yeah, tough schedule, but nice win for the O's last night.
And we were talking earlier, Vinny and myself, first segment of the show, talking about Gunner, appropriate. Adley, absolutely. Westberg, all-star consideration of the young guys. It's almost like Grayson Rodriguez, Mike, gets lost in this conversation, but he is huge for this team. And yeah, Friday passed against Houston, wasn't all that great, but how big was it not only for him to come out and go 7 innings, but to maybe reestablish himself as a strong number two behind Corbin Burnes, who is a number one in anybody's rotation?
No, absolutely. I think it was a perfect storm for him to take this next step forward, you know, in his young career as a leader, as somebody that can be trusted in the rotation to be a stopper when needed. Listen, I'm not going to say it would be the end of the world for the Orioles if they would have lost last night and Grayson had another clunker. But for him to be able to stay that poise, stick with a great game plan. Looked like he was better down the stretch in that game. He wanted the ball, and he was aggressive against a very tough Indians lineup. I mean, my gosh, one of the best teams. Well, right now, I think statistically, one of the best teams in baseball. So to be able to shut them down, control the big bats, and get this team back on track was huge. And I think it just gave everybody in that clubhouse just a little bit more confidence.
All right, Bordy, I'm going to ask you this. In the month of June, Cedric Mullins hitting .284, a couple of homers, four ribbies. Last 2 weeks, he's hitting .378, OPS well over 1,000. And I'm going to use air quotes here, give you a visual, everybody. Is he back?
Well, I hope so. Listen, it was a tough little grind right there for Cedric Mullins. And you know, I got on him too, man. It's just tough when you got such a good team and some guys are scuffling a little bit, and you can see it. They wear it right on their sleeves. You know how hard it is, because every one of these guys, they know what's in front of them. They know they have an awesome team, and when any one of them doesn't feel like they're contributing, you can just see it. They just want to help this team win so bad. And Cedric Mullins, of course, is, I don't know, in my opinion, you know, he's the guy that's gone through it all. Of course, Hayes right there with him, but he's had so much success in the big leagues and then to struggle the way he did and now to rebound back. Am I going to go out there and say, well, our 30-30 Cedric Mullins is back? No, not at all. I just think it's good to have him be more productive and find better consistency in this lineup, because he's a stolen base threat. When he puts together great ABs, he can be a power threat as well. So just another great piece of this Oriole offense to contend with if you're trying to deal with them as an opposing team.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking about the Birds on the diamond tonight, taking on Texas down at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Gray against Burns. Look, you're an all-star player yourself. You're an Oriole Hall of Famer, so you know what you see here, and you play with a lot of great players, guys that are in Cooperstown, as a matter of fact. But you've been watching Gunnar Henderson, not even for two full seasons yet. What are we seeing with this guy right now?
Well, certainly greatness. And I'm in awe every time I see him do what he does, because he's unflappable. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He wants to prove himself every day. I'm not saying he wants to prove that he's the best player in the game right now. He just wants to prove himself to his teammates and this Baltimore fan base. And he wants to get better. You can just tell. He pushes the envelope. I hope they don't pull the reins back, because I think, you know, that hurts players, especially when they're so youthful and can move so well. I want him to stay aggressive. He just looks so poised at the plate, too. I mean, it's really amazing, the consistency of his at-bats. You know, and I heard Brandon Hyde's interview about just saying, you just run out of words describing him. And this is on both sides of the ball, because he's a great base runner. He's a great defender. He's an unbelievable offensive player. He's got it all, man. And I think the Orioles very fortunate to have him. And let's hope he can continue this run, because he doesn't look like he's slowing down one bit.
Hey, Bordy, how surprised are you the consistency of O'Hearn?
Yeah, well, Vinny, you know, I think Brandon Hyde has had a really good feel for his team, and he knows where guys are going to have success. And I think his matchups, you know, facing the righties a bunch, has helped him stay more consistent. He is locked in and is as dangerous a hitter and understanding of a strike zone as anybody on the Orioles, but in baseball too. I mean, and then you throw in obviously the great power numbers as well. He's just a clutch hitter. He's another guy that seems unflappable. He's got a great plan when he steps up in the box, and you're guaranteed just to have a quality at bat, man. And I think really that's the ultimate goal of every offensive player. Can you stay in the moment and have pitch by pitch a great at bat, understanding your strike zone, understanding what the pitcher's trying to do to you? And more times than not, a guy like O'Hearn puts this together, and you just see these quality ABs night after night. It's really impressive.
Hey, Bordy, will we ever see, again, Mateo and Mullins get thrown out in the same game stealing?
Maybe not, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's tough to see. These guys are great. They have great instincts on the base path. Man, you tip your hat, right, if all of a sudden that they get thrown out because I guess everybody knows, and I think everybody's known for a couple years now, that when they get on, they're green lights, man. They're running. They're putting pressure on the opposing team. So as much as teams have tried to stop them, they haven't been very successful. So pretty shocking when they each get thrown out. But keep pushing that envelope, man. I'm telling you, speed plays so well at the major league level. Guys just can't handle it. They don't know how to handle that speed situation, and I think that's been a huge advantage for the Orioles the past couple of years.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Last thing for you, Bordy. I'm not trying to disrespect Cleveland. I mean, they're 8 games up in their division, but are they for real? Are you buying this here?
Man, I'll tell you what. Just watching them play, honestly, the at-bats they put together, they're a scrappy, fighting team. They got a couple guys that can take you deep, you know, the Naylor brothers. And of course, I don't know, man. It seems like he's my favorite player. Their little third baseman right there. That
Ramirez, yeah.
Yeah, Ramirez, are you kidding me with how he plays the game? I mean, my gosh. So they're an exciting team, and it's, you know, they got a great bullpen too. When the back end gets in, it seems like it's the game over. So when you have that kind of consistency in the back end of your bullpen, you feel pretty good about it. And, you know, they may be another team that's in the hunt for more pitching too, because it's that rotation, you know, try to get to that back end as soon as you can.
Bordy, when am I seeing you again here for BBT?
I think I'm back on the beginning of the month. When the O's make that West Coast trip, I'll be joining the BBT program.
It sounds awesome. Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, always great to talk to you. Enjoy your weekend, Mike. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Bordy.
Okay, guys. Yeah, see you, Bob. See you, Vinny.
There he is, Mike Bordick, everybody. We'll come back. Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw. Then we got news from the Nest. Talk some Ravens. Vinny's broken out some statistics and some trends that could help the Ravens moving forward here in 2024, trying to get over that AFC championship game hump. We'll count our late week money, hopefully, at 12:15. Buy or sell. And Oriole lefty Kate Povich joins us at 12:30. NFL lunch, 1 o'clock. American League East report at 1:15. Yankees got beat again, which is always awesome. And then Jared Sandler, going to preview those Texas Rangers. He's with the pre- and post-game show on 105.3 in Texas. Queen. That'd be a good selection for tomorrow, too. People reaching here for some pretty big bands. Getting rocking and rolling. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Vinny, tease what we're going to be talking about here.
We're going to be talking about our offensive skill players, how they did against the division. And then what we're going to do is we're going to break it down and see. Because what I didn't do was I didn't include the guys that won't be there next year. So who's going to have to step it up against the division this year?
Got buy or sell, 12:15. Then Oriole lefty Kate Povich. He'll be joining us around 12:30. Let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw, how you feeling today?
Feeling good. You know, the Orioles going to take on the Rangers this weekend. And probably a conversation to have with Jared Sandler later in the show. But maybe I'm living under a rock here, but I feel like nobody's building up the aspect of this being a rematch of the playoff series last year, which I'm thankful for. Obviously, with the Orioles getting swept, you don't want to revisit that or relive that. But, I mean, is that even really the main headline when these two teams meet this year? I don't think so.
No, and it's not the same team in Texas. They're banged up. They're 6 games below 500. They've lost 3 in a row. I mean, Scherzer just came back. He's scheduled to pitch, I believe, tomorrow night against the Orioles. It's just, and the Orioles had the 5-game losing streak, which kind of was like, well, let's take care of business here. Now you're expected to get yourself straightened out even more against the Rangers. If Texas was coming in, say, like where Cleveland is, this would be a much-anticipated series. But, you know, they're 8 games out of first right now.
Right, yeah, that's it. Exactly what you said. I mean, and the Orioles have already faced their tougher test this month. I mean, the schedule alone was tough, but then the Phillies, with that being propped up as a potential World Series preview, obviously the division clash with the Yankees, and then the Cleveland series here. So, I mean, the competition's been tough. Texas, tough in their own right, and it'll be prime time the entire way. Night games, tonight through Sunday.
Now, Nolan, you will be at Pickles Pub tonight, correct?
I'll be there. That's
right. Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Me, you, and Ryan Ripken will be outside because there's a 0 percent chance of precipitation, and we'll have some fun with the people getting ourselves ready for the Orioles, hopefully starting themselves a little winning streak here. We got time for the Funhouse, or what do we got going on here?
Yeah, we'll do a few.
There we go.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says the first inning last night felt like it was going to be more of the same for the Orioles after they loaded the bases, couldn't get any runs across against Carrasco. Ultimately, Grayson was too good. The bats produced late off of a good bullpen. Overall, encouraging win.
But at that time, as it was happening, I was like, WTF.
Right.
What's going on around here? It's like, oh, we're going to make Hector Carrasco look like Bob Feller. Carlos Carrasco, rather. Historically, he's been good against the Orioles. Now, he used to be a big-time strikeout hard thrower back in his younger days. And if I am not mistaken, he's had some serious health problems along the way. But crafty enough to keep them in the game. And when Kimbrel walked
I was nervous
Naylor
then.
With two outs, you got to admit, like, okay, I'm sweating a little bit. But he struck out the side.
Yeah.
All said and done. But yeah, to the texter's point, yeah, I was a little worried, angry. No, it was more like angry and frustrated at the time.
Well, this texter here says it felt like a reset win in a lot of ways. Goes on to say, I expect to see a more relaxed or normal version of the Orioles, the one that we're used to seeing when they take on the Rangers tonight.
Well, we'll see. And I think they'll be relaxed because Corbin Burns is on the hill.
Yep.
And they know they're going to be in the game because he does not get rocked. Question is, what kind of run production are they going to get against John Gray, who's a very tough pitcher for Texas?
And one more here, speaking of Kimbrel, this texter says, I agree. I think Kimbrel would have a tough time being selected to the All-Star game. Just a few too many mistakes for him this year. Way better competition in the American League when it comes to closers. I'd say he's maybe fringe right now. I guess it just depends how the AL manager is feeling.
Yeah, he's blown four saves. Got six wins because, you know, there's been some extra inning stuff. He was actually removed from the role about a month ago.
Yep.
And then he regained it, pitched very well, then had a couple of shaky outings. Is he fringe? He might, like a cat sees the fringe and he's trying to grab the fringe. He might be there. I think Grayson Rodriguez deserves a little more consideration for the All-Star game myself. Because keep in mind, he's not starting the game. He's only pitching an inning. He'll be a relief pitcher. So let's give Grayson, can't vote for him. That'll be up to the manager and the coaches to decide. But I think Grayson Rodriguez deserves much consideration for All-Star.
And
Texas, ironically.
Isn't the manager who's picking him here for the next four nights?
Oh, Bochy.
Yes. So it would behoove, you know, Kimbrel to do well if he gets opportunity.
Well, it'll probably be frustrating for the Rangers to watch him save three games.
That'd be cool.
It would be an up close and personal impression made on the manager for sure. We'll come back, get the news from the Nats, talk some Ravens, talk more Ravens coming up at 1 o'clock as well for some NFL lunch. Got buy or sell at 12:15, and then Oriole lefty Kate Povich at 12:30. Queen. That'd be a good selection for tomorrow too. People reaching here for some pretty big bands getting rock and rolling. News from the Nets coming up top of the hour. Vinny, tease what we're going to be talking about here.
We're going to be talking about our offensive skill players, how they did against the division. And then what we're going to do is we're going to break it down and see. Because what I didn't do was I didn't include the guys that won't be there next year. So who's going to have to step it up against the division this year?
Got buy or sell, 12:15. Then Oriole lefty Kate Povich. He'll be joining us around 12:30. Let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw, how you feeling today?
Feeling good. You know, the Orioles going to take on the Rangers this weekend. And probably a conversation to have with Jared Sandler later in the show. But maybe I'm living under a rock here, but I feel like nobody's building up the aspect of this being a rematch of the playoff series last year, which I'm thankful for. Obviously, with the Orioles getting swept, you don't want to revisit that or relive that. But, I mean, is that even really the main headline when these two teams meet this year? I don't think so.
No, and it's not the same team in Texas. They're banged up. They're six games below 500. They've lost three in a row. I mean, Scherzer just came back. He's scheduled to pitch, I believe, tomorrow night against the Orioles. It's just, and the Orioles had the five-game losing streak, which kind of was like, well, let's take care of business here. Now it's you're expected to get yourself straightened out even more against the Rangers. If Texas was coming in, say, like where Cleveland is, this would be a much-anticipated series. But, you know, they're eight games out of first right now.
Right, yeah, that's it. Exactly what you said. I mean, and the Orioles have already faced their tougher test this month. I mean, the schedule alone was tough. But then the Phillies, with that being propped up as a potential World Series preview, obviously the division clash with the Yankees, and then the Cleveland series here. So, I mean, the competition's been tough. Texas, tough in their own right. And it'll be prime time the entire way. Night games, tonight through Sunday.
Now, Nolan, you will be at Pickles Pub tonight, correct?
I'll be there. That's
right. Baltimore baseball tonight. Me, you, and Ryan Ripken will be outside because there's a 0% chance of precipitation. And we'll have some fun with the people, getting ourselves ready for the Orioles, hopefully starting themselves a little winning streak here. We got time for the fun house, or what do we got going on here?
Yeah, we'll do a few.
There we go.
Quick draws, fun house. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says the first inning last night felt like it was going to be more of the same for the Orioles after they loaded the bases, couldn't get any runs across against Carrasco. Ultimately, Grayson was too good. The bats produced late off of a good bullpen. Overall, encouraging win.
But at that time, as it was happening, I was like, WTF.
Right.
What's going on around here? It's like, oh, we're going to make Hector Carrasco look like Bob Feller. Carlos Carrasco, rather. Historically, he's been good against the Orioles. Now, he used to be a big-time strikeout, hard thrower back in his younger days. And if I am not mistaken, he's had some serious health problems along the way. But crafty enough to keep them in the game. And when Kimbrel walked
I was nervous
Naylor
then.
With two outs, you got it, man. Like, okay, I'm sweating a little bit. But he struck out the side.
Yeah.
All said and done. But yeah, to the texter's point, yeah, I was a little worried, angry. No, it was more like angry and frustrated at the time.
Well, this texter here says it felt like a reset win in a lot of ways. Goes on to say, I expect to see a more relaxed or normal version of the Orioles, the one that we're used to seeing when they take on the Rangers tonight.
Well, we'll see. And I think they'll be relaxed because Corbin Burns is on the hill.
Yep.
And they know they're going to be in the game because he does not get rocked. Question is, what kind of run production are they going to get against John Gray, who's a very tough pitcher for Texas?
And one more here, speaking of Kimbrel, this texter says, I agree. I think Kimbrel would have a tough time being selected to the All-Star game. Just a few too many mistakes for him this year. Way better competition in the American League when it comes to closers. I'd say he's maybe fringe right now. I guess it just depends how the AL manager is feeling.
Yeah, he's blown four saves. Got six wins because, you know, there's been some extra inning stuff. He was actually removed from the role about a month ago.
Yep.
And then he regained it, pitched very well, then had a couple of shaky outings. Is he fringe? He might, like a cat sees the fringe and he's trying to grab the fringe. He might be there. I think Grayson Rodriguez deserves a little more consideration for the All-Star game myself. Because keep in mind, he's not starting the game. He's only pitching an inning. He'll be a relief pitcher. So let's give Grayson, can't vote for him. That'll be up to the manager and the coaches to decide. But I think Grayson Rodriguez deserves much consideration for All-Star.
And
in Texas, ironically.
Isn't the manager who's picking him here for the next four nights?
Oh, Bochy?
Yes. So it would behoove, you know, Kimbrel to do well if he gets opportunity.
Well, he'll probably be frustrating for the Rangers to watch him save three games.
That'd be cool.
It would be an up-close and personal impression made on the manager, for sure. We'll come back, get the news from the Nest, talk some Ravens, talk more Ravens coming up at 1 o'clock as well for some NFL lunch. You got buy or sell at 12:15, and then Oriole lefty Kate Povich at 12:30.